Well, please have your Bibles open before you to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll be looking at verses 14 to 30, that parable that we just read, often referred to as the parable of the talents. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever had a reoccurring dream? Have you ever had a dream more than once? One that seems to come maybe once a week or something like that. Reoccurring dreams are quite common. The most common one that we get is the one where you're still in school and you know that there's an exam that's coming up and you know that you're not ready. You wake up and you're in a panic. You go to school, you can't find your locker, you can't find the classroom, and you end up coming into this exam not at all prepared. And yet you know that it's something that you've got to get through. Dreams like that are fairly common. And this is a fairly common dream that people seem to have. But what if that was a dream that was for real? What if it wasn't an exam that you weren't ready for, but it was the end of the age? What if the examiner wasn't your teacher? But it was the Lord. You realized that it was too late and you had to give an answer to Him for what you were supposed to do, but you didn't do it. That wouldn't just be a nightmare. That would be a terrible thing. Jesus tells this parable to warn us about the upcoming exam. He had just finished telling the parable of the 10 virgins in which He warned them and told them about the need to be watchful, to look for the coming of the bridegroom. But how are we to be ready? What does it mean to be prepared? Well, that's what this parable is all about. It's telling us in what way we are to be ready. We must use the gifts that the Lord has given to us. The preparedness, readiness, or watchfulness commended by this parable in the words of Matthew Henry is a matter of actual diligence in our present work and service. We're not to be passive, but to be doing our duty and growing and developing the resources that the Lord has entrusted to us. If we look carefully at this parable, it calls us to examine our lives to see whether or not we are using God's gifts and opportunities in a wise and God-glorifying manner. And therefore, we want to consider it under the theme, the talents, as a parable for the beginning of this new year. And we'll look at this with 3 points. First of all, looking at the servants. Secondly, at the significance of this to us. And then lastly, we'll look at the Savior. First of all, look at the servants. If you look at the opening verse, this parable ties in very closely to the one before. As we just mentioned, Jesus spoke in the parable of the 10 virgins to be ready. And the second parable begins quite abruptly, but it continues this theme of readiness. Be on alert. For the kingdom of God is like a man leaving this world and giving treasures to his servants. The rich man making his journey is the Christ figure in this parable. He is going to a far country and he's entrusting his possessions to his servants. He had 8 talents to give to them. Now, you should know that a talent stands for a monetary unit. A talent is a large sum of money. It was a measurement of wealth that came by weight, and usually it was as much as 80 pounds. This is an enormous amount of money. We know that even from the value of gold. If we were to compare the situation here to our modern-day situation, if we were to take say 80 pounds of gold, which on the market today was about 1,214 U.S. dollars per ounce. That's the going rates. So 80 pounds of gold, you multiply that correctly, and if I did my math correctly, that would end up being about $1.6 million. That's how much one talent would be worth today. So even one talent is a lot of money. No average person could possibly earn that overnight. It may even be more sensible to compare the talents with modern currency in terms of earning power. You know, the average person in that day made about one denarii. A talent was worth about 6,000 denarii. So it would probably take 20 years for an average guy to earn a talent. So this is a considerable amount of money. Now, though this is all given in terms of currency, it stands for the sum of all our God-given abilities, resources, and opportunities. It stands for all our God-given abilities, resources, and opportunities. You see, God has given us many gifts. The master, therefore, we read, gave these 8 talents away. But not all received them equally. He gave 5 talents to one servant, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And the reason for that, as you notice very carefully in the text here, is because each one received according to his ability. The parable recognizes that both abilities and responsibilities are unequal. Not everyone has the same abilities. Not everyone has the same responsibilities. Everyone is different. And we all need to be truly thankful and content with what we have. You know, we don't envy someone because they've been given more than us. We don't look down on someone else because they have less than us. God is the giver of all good things. He gives all his servants something. Some have more, others less. That is certainly true when we compare these words to the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "You're not your own. You were bought at a price." That's something we must never lose sight of. Though they all were blessed and given these gifts, the servants are furthermore required to use them. And with the first two, we see that they immediately took these possessions and they did something with them. They were prompt, active, and efficient. The first one with 5 talents put them to good use. Verse 16 speaks of trading and putting it to work, which means more than just investing the money. It also means setting up some business and working with the capital in order to make it grow. The same was true of the servant with his 2 talents. But Jesus says the third servant played it safe. He did not involve himself in the risk of buying and selling and trading. He merely took his treasure and he buried it in the ground to keep it safe. The point of this is servants are required to use what is entrusted to them. These refer to all the privileges and blessings that the Lord entrusts to his people and to his church. God's assets are, pardon me, our assets are God's assets. All that he invested in them was his anyway. And they were not to spend their resources on themselves. In the same way, we're not to use our opportunities or abilities or capabilities for our own glory. And that certainly involves things like our money and our abilities. But it's not just money. It involves our time. It involves our relationships with others. It involves our political freedom. It involves the gospel blessings that have been given to us. Jesus goes on then to speak about how the master returned to settle the accounts. He commends and rewards the first faithful servant who comes up to him and says, "I've doubled what you've given me. I've earned 5 more talents." Jesus says, the master said to him, "You've done well, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And it was the same for the second servant. He was given 2 talents. He earned 2 more. He had been faithful with much, and the Lord gave to him the praise that he deserved. And he also was put in charge of much. Well, 2 talents, not as much as 5. That's true. But each one was commended for his ability. And this, again, is how it is for us as well. We're not to envy someone else's skill or ability, but we're to do the best that we have. We're to do the best with the resources that the Lord has given to us. We may not all equally achieve the same thing. We may not all be able to do the same things as others. However, our purpose should always be to do to the best of our ability, so that we can say, "I have done my best for the Lord." But that brings us to the servants who would not try. And he tried to excuse himself. But in the end, he put all the blame on the master. The master was a hard man. He had high expectations. He went and he sowed seed where he had not done, and he gathered where he had not yet gathered. And that made him afraid, and he didn't do anything risky to bring his anger. In other words, it was the master's fault. If he wasn't so hard and demanding, the third servant would have done much better. In saying that the master was a hard man, he undermined his own excuse. He admitted that he knew that he must produce a profit, yet he failed to do it. As Matthew Henry puts it, his defense was his offense. What are we to make of his hiding the talents in the ground? Well, to his mind, it was a good thing. He wasn't taking any risk. He was not taking what was his to spend on himself. He was saving it for the master. But the master called him wicked and lazy. He didn't accept what he said. He may not have done anything wrong, but it is wicked to squander talents. It's not just wrong, it's wicked to waste our abilities and opportunities to serve the Lord. As verse 27 puts it, he should have at least put his money in the bank. Then he would have been able to gain some interest so that when his master returned, he'd get something back for it. And the third servant was sent out into darkness, and his talent was given to the first who had earned 10. You know, it's a common saying in Jewish writing that God gives wisdom only to him who possesses it. As one Jewish writer put it, "He who increases decreases not." That's certainly true. That the more knowledge that you have, the more you're able to receive. For example, if you're someone who's able to read an ancient language, maybe read the Bible in Hebrew and Greek, then with that knowledge, you're able to gain more wisdom or have more understanding of what the Bible's saying. Or if you have an understanding of mechanics, then you can grow in your ability with mechanical things. If you have an appreciation for woodworking, then you're able to develop that ability. But the opposite is true too. If you have a little bit of knowledge about playing the piano, but you don't work at it, you don't practice, you don't, you know, make that time to get better at what you're doing, then you lose it. And that's not just true in the area of playing a musical instrument. It's true of learning another language. You know, if we've learned French, for example, and we've learned it quite well, if we don't use it, then we lose it. And we all are face to face with an important truth of life. In life, we never stand still. We never stand still in life. We're either moving forward or we're moving what? Backward. We're not heading forward. We must see to it that every day we're advancing, learning something new, and doing something a little better for the glory of God. But it brings us to what we see secondly here, the significance. And the main point of this parable, if you notice in verse 29, this is really what this parable is all about. It says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." If you use your talents, then you will not forfeit them. But if you don't, you will. And it's a grievous sin to the Lord. Use a talent and it will develop and grow. If you believe, then your faith will grow. If you are seeking to be holy, then you'll grow in holiness. If you serve, you will be increased with opportunities and responsibilities. If you use your wealth to the glory of God, then God will bless you with that. If you use your mind for the glory of God, your mind will expand. Some of us have limited resources. That doesn't matter. We use what the Lord has given to us. It's a very serious thing what Jesus is saying here. The servant who didn't use the talent properly was delivered to outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That stands for complete and final rejecting. And the thing is, he wasn't committing a heinous sin. But for someone who has neglected to use the talent entrusted him, it's a grave warning. And it's God's word to us. What we need to do this morning is just to ask ourselves some questions. The first question we need to ask is, do we consider God harsh? Do we consider God harsh? Just consider the excuse of the third servant. He thought the master was harsh, and therefore he didn't do anything to glorify the master. You know, that's the thinking of the world. The world thinks it's entitled to everything. They receive all that they have, and they won't even lift a pinky to praise God. They have no acknowledgement of their own sin. They do not repent. But they're without excuse. And there could be that attitude lurking in our own hearts sometimes. Because we by nature are like the servant with the one talent. We think that the Lord has been harsh and that we don't take ownership of our responsibilities. But God has given us everything. Everything that we have is from Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" How about you then? Are you begrudging the Lord for what He has given to you? Are you looking over your shoulder and comparing yourself to someone else? And, you know, envy is starting to take over your heart. And you wallow in self-pity. What is your view of the Lord? Do you have a wrong view of the Lord? Do you see Him as someone who is harsh? To what extent are you neglecting to use the privileges that God has given to you? And do you ask? You know, James talks about that. You do not have because you do not ask. We should never think that the Lord is merely harsh. His mercy to us should spur us on to use our time, our resources, our blessings, our children, our stations in life, our place in society, our calling in this world, everything to the glory of God. But ask yourself this question as well, secondly. Are we using our various capacities to serve God now? Are we using our various capacities to serve God now? All of us have abilities that God gives. We have a list of those gifts in places like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We don't have everything equally, but we all have certain gifts. No one here today can say, I'm not gifted. That's simply not true. We all have capacities. You all have talents. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11 says that the Spirit of Christ has distributed to each one as He wills. And then in Romans 12 verse 6, we read these words, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Some have great mental abilities. They can serve the church as theologians, as teachers, or they can debate with those who are from outside in the world. And they just have this real ability to challenge the arguments of an unbeliever. The thing is, you got to use that ability if you have it. Then there are those who have some amazing artistic abilities. They're gifted as musicians, as architects. They can beautify something. Again, same thing. Use that gift. Others are gifted with charming personalities. They can talk to others with ease. You know, they can come up to people and what they say is something that encourages them. They encourage those who are discouraged. Some are very good at organizing, and they bring that into the church in a very helpful manner. Others are good at things that are practical. They're good with their hands. They're good with computers, painting, plumbing, mechanics, woodworking, whatever it is. Or sometimes an overlooked gift in the church today is even raising a family. Raising a godly family to the Lord. That is a wonderful blessing. And the Lord uses that. Using our gifts is not something that should stop either once we get into our senior years or even if we're disabled. There are stories of, you know, those saints who perhaps are sick in their youth, in their young years, and yet the Lord uses them where they are. They might be, you know, in a nursing care facility or in the hospital, and they're able to go to others who are there and encourage them, to help them, even to present a godly witness to medical professionals who provide treatment to them. And they invite them to church. They invite people to come to the Lord. Even though they're in a weakened state, they're still able to be used of the Lord in that way. Sometimes we may have this idea that seniors aren't meant to do anything anymore. Well, that's simply not true. They have a calling to help out others. And perhaps it's a matter of, you know, picking up the phone and calling people. Or even if they're not even able to do that, spending the time praying for others. What a blessing that is. It may be in the area of being a spiritual advisor. Perhaps some of you have a little extra time on your hands during the week. What can you do to benefit someone who might be in need? How can you use that gift? The Holy Spirit has given gifts to all of us. And you know that the church is not a nursery school where you have to be told what to do. If you have a gift, use it. Use it to the glory of God. If you don't use your gift, you may lose it. Sometimes we may have to even use that Nike philosophy. Just do it. Use them. Maybe you've heard of how Charles Darwin was like at the end of his life. He says that when he was young, he used to find delight in poetry and music. But as he went on to develop his theory of evolution and poured himself into biology, he gave absolutely no time to reading poetry or listening to music. And so he says, as he came to a stage when poetry meant nothing to him and music was just noise. And he goes on to say that if he had his life to live over again, he would see to it that some time was given to these things so that he wouldn't have lost these things. We're all called to use the talents that God gives to us because it's death not to use our gifts. It's life to use them. and service for the Lord and for others. And the third question that we need to ask ourselves is, what about our time? What about our time? We've been given gifts and abilities. What about our time? Are we using it? Are we seizing the opportunities? Or are we wasting it on frivolous and silly things? One of the main sins of this wicked servant is that he wasn't willing to take risks. He was afraid to do anything. This is the sin of laziness. You know how the book of Proverbs talks about that? The lazy man is on his bed and he says, I'm not going to get up in the morning because there's a lion out in the street. That's his excuse. He's afraid of life. He's afraid to take risks. That's what our society is like. It insulates us from taking risks. Children are not allowed to climb trees or to play on playgrounds because they might hurt themselves. But we have to sometimes take chances to find out what we must do. If we have a great mental ability, are we using our ability to develop our minds? Or are we wasting our brains by sitting all the time in front of the TV or at the computer? Are we into gaming all the time? Or perhaps you're wasting your time by spending it with the wrong crowd and you're destroying your life with alcohol. Many young people have done that. There are also those who could very easily become world-class musicians, but they never develop that gift because they sit back passively and they wait. We have to use the opportunities when the door is open. And when they're wide open for our development. The fourth question to ask ourselves is, are we using God's income wisely? Are we using God's income wisely? Are we good stewards of what the Lord has given to us? We live in a day and age where debt has become a god. And the Bible does give a lot of warnings about that. Not becoming usury to lenders. The burden of debt can be so destructive to people's lives, to their families, to marriages, even to nations. We have to work to pay down our debt and avoid as much as we can. Also, we're called to use our money wisely and not frivolously on things that we don't need. We have a society that operates on buy cheap now, and then in a short time, buy it again if it breaks. What about buying things made with quality? Do we think about that? Do we think about investing in things that are worthwhile and that last? Are we buying the latest piece of junk that ends up having to be thrown out in a year? That's wasting our money. We need wise stewardship in these areas. And what about tithing? What about giving to the Lord? What about giving sacrificially to Him? Do we give until it hurts? You remember how Jesus talked about that widow who gave of just a mite, just a small penny, not even a penny, and put that into the temple collection. Jesus said, truly this widow has put in more than everyone else, for they all put out of their surplus, but she out of poverty gave everything that she owned. Are we tithing? Do we make that point of sacrificially giving to the needs of the church and to others? There are many ways that the Lord calls us to use our gifts, and we're trying to be as comprehensive as we can with all of these things. I'm sure there are things that we've missed, gifts that we haven't even spoken of. We all have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves the questions as to how we're using the privilege of His gifts. But there is balm, because we know that we do fail and that we do not always keep up to our responsibilities as we should. That's why we must consider, thirdly, the Savior. Consider the servant heart of Christ. Jesus spoke this parable right after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and just before he He went to the cross. And while Christ was on earth, He did whatever pleased His Father. He never wasted a moment. Everything that He did was honoring to God. His Father was no harsh taskmaster. Christ willingly glorified His Father by doing His will. Christ did this out of pure joy for His people. He had come to suffer and die, even though that was the hardest part of fulfilling God's will. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." By becoming our sacrifice for sin, He finished God's work for Him and entered into the joy of His Father. And right now, Jesus is the master of us, His church. If you've ever doubted your talent or your ability, if you've ever felt that you lacked in some way, beloved congregation, know that you can pour out your heart to your Father in heaven through Christ's name. He gives us His Word and His Spirit. In fact, in everything according to His providence, Christ is able to carry you through. Ask for His blessing. He will give to you, to all who earnestly seek His wisdom and His grace, to His faithful servants. And if you are faithfully serving Him, even if you are weakened in some way or perhaps not as gifted as someone else, know that the Lord does use you for His purpose. Though we can't save ourselves by using God-given abilities, the Lord does say that we are without excuse if we don't use them. But let us never rest in our own strength or think that we somehow can do it all on our own. Let us especially look to the One who suffered and died to pay for sin and has now entered the joy of the Lord. And when He comes back, may He say of us, "Good and faithful servant, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Let's turn now to number